guys. What's up? Amla Panoba here with Unapologetic Live. Thank you for joining me on this most auspicious day. Today, what is today? Today is Thursday, right?
Today is Thursday. It's almost Thursday. Friday.
It's almost Friday, and Taylor loves Almost Friday. Those little Instagram photos that say Almost Friday.
I don't know
Friday
if everyone knows about them, but yeah, it's a social media brand, Almost Friday. Look them up. They post awesome pictures, and I share one every single Friday to my story. So every Thursday to my story, because it's almost Friday.
Yeah, you can always count on Taylor for posting his Almost Friday on Thursday. Anyways, guys, hope you're having the most fantastic day. Today, I just kind of want to have a little sort of ranty video. We are going to respond to some videos that I found on the internet and that I've seen, you know, this year and very recently, two of these. And I just want to posit the question of, is politics supposed to be theatrical? Because now it is, and maybe you guys can say, oh, well, politics has always been theatrical in some way, shape, or form, but I feel like we are reaching peak theatrics in our political discourse, in our political campaigns, and all this different stuff that we are engaged in as, a civil society. Are we still a civil society at this point? I don't know. But I want to talk about specifically what people choose to do with their campaign ads. I don't know if this is something that I just haven't caught on to or that I'm just now just like recently realizing, but I cannot believe how done up and overproduced some people's political ads are. And if they're not done up and overproduced, they're completely just asinine, ridiculous, crazy videos that I cannot believe we are seeing on the internet. So I want to talk about that today. We'll get into discussions about political theater, how much of it is real, how much of it is just used to stoke the flames of division in our country, and whether or not we want to move towards a country that isn't hiring actors and comedians to be our public servant, and certainly not electing them. But let's get into this. I want to put a disclaimer here first. I'm not going to be endorsing or unendorsing any of these candidates or saying, you know, don't vote for them or vote for them. I simply just want to talk about the videos themselves, the process that people go through to make these, the narratives that are present in some of these videos, and just the state of politics in general in America. So we're not even going to discuss these candidates in particular. We might discuss the ideas that are expressed in their videos and what they do, but we're not going to talk about their platform. We're not going to talk about electing. We're not going to talk about voting them. That is not my job, okay? So this first one, you probably have seen because we've covered on the show before, but I wanted to bring it back up because it was just crazy for me to see. This is a video from the Democratic side of the aisle, a campaign ad. Let's watch.
The pain of our past persists to this day. In Kentucky, like many states throughout the South, lynching was a tool of terror. It was used to kill hopes for freedom. It was used to kill my ancestors. Now, in a historic victory for our Commonwealth, I have become the first Black Kentuckian to receive the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. My opponent, the very person who compared expanded health care to slavery. The person who said he...
Dude, I just can't believe. I can't believe. You know what you have to do to get a video like this? You have to actively go buy this rope, form it into a noose. You gotta put your little suit on. You gotta put it around your neck. Not only that, you have to have an entire little camera crew production. I'm sure they had some lighting stuff going on here. You had to have a whole group of people look at this idea, look at your script, film it, light it, all these things. And they all went, yep, great idea. Yep. In fact, after we're done filming, we're gonna edit it, make it all nice and dramatic, put in all these photos and everything, and these old school, you know, Jim Crow, KKK-esque photos, historical pictures, and we're going to publish the ad, and we're going to show it to people. How many hands did this video cross? How many eyes saw this video and went, yep, great idea.
This'll get them. This is going to be a tearjerker. They're going to be utterly shocked at the idea of a noose, because it's not like the media has been parading around noose hoaxes of Jesse Smollett and Bubba Wallace all over the airwaves for the last several years. And it's just, if it weren't something that was so overdone already in the mainstream media, This might achieve that shocking shock value reaction that he's looking for.
Right.
But it's just the race narrative has just become, you hear it every day and you see it every day. And the Hollywood and the mainstream media go out of their way to, like, you know, it reinforces narrative anyway. So he's playing off of what's basically become just a cliche.
Yes.
And it's, you know, and I blame the media for this, but it's lost its power and it shouldn't have. It should be something that we react to, but it just feels like he's just leaning into relying on this trope or something.
Yeah, it's just lame, man. And I like what you said, it is shock value. That is really what they are most concerned with. It seems like we talked about before, when you just ingest all of this insanity day in and day out, all these news articles and the headlines and the crazy videos on the internet, and there's a different politician running for this and this and that and that, and you don't know where you stand and everything's blurry and fuzzy. You need something crazy to cut through the haze that you're sitting in. And that seems like what all these politicians are doing these days. Now, I think it mainly happens on the left, but it sure does happen on the right, and we're going to talk about that today as well. They make a video that is just so salacious and ridiculous that it cuts through the haze, and you watch for a second and you go, wow, at least you watched the whole ad, which is the problem. It's a problem. It's a problem not only in the production of videos like this, but in our consumption of videos like this, because guess what? That threshold, it takes more and more and more. The ads have to get crazier and more overproduced and crazier scripts for us to even have our attention given to these different politicians, when really what we should be seeing is, you know, in your respective state, this guy's running for a state rep, this guy's running for Congress, this guy's running for the Senate, and you guys sit and go back and forth and you debate, and people who care about their communities, people who care about their state, people who care about the future of legislation that's going to affect them, they'll sit and they'll listen to the candidates, and you come and you put on your suit or the dress for the ladies or a suit for the ladies, and you sit down and you talk through the issues and you say, I'm running for this and here's my perspective. Here's my perspective. Here's where I stand. Here's what I want to get done. People watch that. They place their votes. But instead, we go, oh, not only am I a politician, but now I'm an actor, and let's put this noose around my neck and let me hire the production crew and the lighting crew, and they can come and film me as they talk about the KKK in lynching and liken it to what we're going through in the modern age. That's how high the threshold is now, that this is what breaks the barriers for people to watch a political ad. Blows my mind, but there's more, ladies and gentlemen. Let's keep watching.
He would have opposed the Civil Rights Act. The person who single-handedly blocked an anti-lynching act from being federal law.
Pause. Did anybody get lynched because that act didn't become federal law? I'm just curious. If we have any lynching experts or people who keep up on lynching data in the United States, did anybody get lynched because there wasn't a federal anti-lynching law? Let me know. I mean, it's possible that somebody got lynched because of that, but I doubt it.
The choice couldn't be clearer. Do we move forward together, or do we let politicians like Rand Paul forever hold us back and drive us apart?
Dude, what?
In November, we will choose healing. We will choose Kentucky.
Oh, you know, there's something really profound about what just happened there, and I'm gonna go back just a little bit, okay? Watch this.
In November,
you see how the noose was just rope that they bought and he put it on his neck and then he took it off? That's basically what you can do with any of these false narratives that are being pushed to you right now.
Dang.
It's a noose around your neck, you put it there, and you can take it off. And Taylor's like, dang,
I know, that was fire. It's like, that's the victim narrative, and you just, it's fake. You put it on yourself. You could take it right back off.
Literally, that's all you had to do. So honestly, you know, this was a profound moment for me watching this. Watching this ad, I'm grateful that he paid a production crew to create this for him, because it completely, completely exemplifies exactly what we've been talking about for so long. These are false narratives that do not really exist in the modern day, aside from a few small-minded people. And you choose to get all the products you need to create something like this, put it around your neck, and then take it off when your ad's over. You should have honestly just left it on for the rest of the ad, but... Like all these false narratives, they crumble. They crumble, whether or not this person's going to recognize it or not. But even so, beyond the message of racism. Just look at this. Why am I watching, like, a scene out of a movie when I'm looking for a political candidate to support? Why?
That question will plague us all forever. But I will say, I just got a great idea for a PragerU ad.
Okay.
Where Amala will be the star.
Uh-huh.
And all we need is a noose and a tree, and you're going to put it over your neck.
So many great stories take it start off with a noose.
Like victim. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking that we would, you know, make the reverse of this ad, which is, but based on what you just said of like, I started thinking for myself and took off the false victimhood oppression that was on me from the victim narrative.
Yes. And look how easy. Look how easy it was. We honestly should make that video. Oh my God, would we be...
We could do it as a satire of this ad. That would be fire.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even bring myself to do it because I feel like I'm engaging in the same BS that these people are doing. I can't even bring myself to make a joke about the type of ads that these people are creating. But yeah, man, where are we at? And I see so many people, they commented on this ad, they were upset about it, not even because of the production of it, but because of the subject matter, and that's fair. You know, I have my criticism for it, we discussed it on the show and did it. But even so, why are our politicians making ads like this? It's just the world that we exist in now, that this is the way that we get our information. And it's sad, man. I long for the times where politicians stood face-to-face, went through the issues, had a clear-cut, moderated debate, and then you from your home got to decide who you voted for. And even now, the debates that we have on our national television for the candidates for any given seat of office, let's use the president for example, theater, it's a movie, it's a show. It's almost like they plan out the moments that they're going to have that they know are going to have the most controversy, that the most people are going to see, and that's what they act out. And we're going to get into the fact that, yes, people actually do that, but we'll talk about that later. I don't want this criticism to be levied on one side, because this issue I've recognized on both sides. Now, like I said before, I think it's more of an issue for the left to create these theatrical reenactments of racism and all this stuff and these overproduced political ads, but this morning I woke up to find one of a Republican, and again, not even going to go into the name, not even going to go into what they're running for, because I could not care less, really. I just want to talk about the subject matter of the video. Here we go.
Democrats like to say that no one needs an AR-15 for self-defense, that no one could possibly need all 30 rounds. But when this rifle is the only thing standing between your family and a dozen angry Democrats in Klan hoods, you just might need that semi-automatic and all 30 rounds.
Okay, gosh. Dude, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, so many conservatives, and I mean big conservatives on the internet, were cheering on this ad and talking about how great it is and this is a groundbreaking political campaign ad. Huh? Como se dice, come again? What do you mean? What about this is groundbreaking? It is quite literally what we just watched. I want to make that abundantly clear. It's what we just watched, but the coin has been flipped. And I understand a lot of people are going to get in the comments and say, well, the Democratic Party is the party of the KKK, or let's say was the party of the KKK. Let's be really accurate when we talk about this. Sure. Sure. Definitely. We know that. We know that. I think a lot of people know that. Maybe there are some that don't, but this ad certainly does not communicate that historical fact. It instead paints modern-day Democrats as being the KKK. And I just, again, the same question. How many hands, you know, did this pass through? How many eyes saw this ad and went, yep, that's the stance we're going to take. Yep, that's what we're going for. And of course, it gets you millions of views. Super salacious, oh, crazy, outrageous. And the right-wing end of the spectrum really, really loves it for some reason. But is this what you would hold up as, you know, a beautiful representation of American politics? You know, if a foreign person came and visited you and said, I really want to know what American politics is like. Can you show me the side of it? Because I see a lot of the craziness. Show me the goodness in American politics. Show me the structure of it. And you go, oh, here's this ad of this guy who hired, what, like 7 to 10 people to dress up as members of the KKK, a virtually non-existent organization, and pretend like they're going to run at him with fake bats with nails on them and harass him. And people saw this and went, that's a good ad. Unbelievable. My unbelievable. Taylor, are you with me on this one, or did you enjoy this?
Well, it's, I enjoyed there is sort of a ha-ha, you know, it's like a chuckle that you'd get from looking at a meme. Mm-hmm. But this isn't a meme. To your point, it's a political ad for a candidate who's actually running for an office in the United States of America.
Yes.
And, you know, I know we're in a day where we elected a reality television star as president, mm-hmm. and daytime television doctors are becoming senators.
Yeah.
To the point of this whole live stream today, American politics is sort of descending into this, you know, clown world situation. And so this is par for the course for that type of setting. I do lament that fact. I lament that this mm-hmm. this will probably be effective for the subset of the group that wants to see stuff like this and get
right.
that. You know, we like I think of the word clapter. Like we criticize late night television hosts like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Stephen Colbert for just saying the basic leftist talking points and saying things that aren't even funny, but just going for the clapter, saying things that their audience wants to hear so they can say, ha, yeah, those dumb conservatives, they're so silly and stupid, holding us back. And I feel like this is just the equivalent of that. And this is just the other flip side of the coin to the first ad that you showed.
Yes. And to be fair, just to be equal here, I'm going to criticize this ad in the same way I criticize the other one. There are so many things wrong with what I just saw. First of all, you guys are watching right now. You guys know where I stand on things. We're going to agree on most things. In fact, if I met this particular candidate and we had him on the show and we talked about all the different social issues and things we're facing right now, guarantee you we're going to agree on probably 90% of the things that we talk about. But do you guys have people who are left-leaning in your life? I'm sure you do. I'm sure your parents, your auntie, your uncle, your peers, your friends, there's somebody in your life who doesn't represent your specific views and is on the opposite end of the aisle. Would you make an ad putting them in a KKK hood and saying that they're coming for you with bats, with nails on them, and weapons and hose and all this stuff? Would you do that? Do you think that's an accurate depiction of what it truly means to disagree with somebody and to be on the opposite end of the political aisle of somebody? No. I don't view people who disagree with me as members of the KKK. In fact, I've most of them don't align with a single thing the KKK has to say, luckily. Luckily, I don't think really most people on this earth agree with anything that the KKK has to say, except maybe a small group of people on the outskirts. So why are we doing that? And we criticize the people who, you know, put on the noose and talk about Jim Crow and the KKK and slavery, and we criticize them and we say, well, that's not a modern day problem. Why are you bringing that up now? We've progressed outside of that. But we got this guy doing it right here. So are we going to levy even criticism when we see somebody who disagrees with us do it and then we see somebody who agrees with us who does it? Also, I don't know if any of you guys watch the news. I'm sure you watch the news. We have lots of shootings that are being reported on any given day. It's probably going to be one of the most hot button topics when it comes to where people choose to give their support. And in this ad, whoever wrote this decided to write this segment being, you're going to need your semi-automatic weapon with all 30 rounds when the angry Democrats show up. Huh? You're going to need your AR when your political opposition shows up at the door? I'm sorry, what? That's how you put your campaign out? It's the same exact thing that we criticize when people who disagree with us do it. But I've seen a lot of people sort of came out after me, after I said, you know, I don't like this ad at all. I think it's completely ridiculous. Your side. You know, like I said, I would probably support this guy on most of the things that he talks about. We probably agree a lot. Doesn't mean I have to support this. Doesn't mean you are not worthy of constructive criticism. And there's a lot of constructive criticism that I can give to this ad in particular. And what would be the smartest thing, I think, for anybody who is looking to get into office or to make change or to simply be a public servant in any way, shape, or form, is to sit here poised, rational, professional, factual, unemotional about the issues, and say exactly what you feel straight to camera. How powerful would that be when we live in a country that is just feasting off of turmoil and division and fire and protest and riot, to have a candidate come forth and go, all this other stuff is crazy. You see what he did? That's crazy. I'm coming to you because I care about your life. I care about making your community better. I care about this issue, this issue, this issue. And here's how I'm going to get it done. And here's where I stand. And I can be met with people screaming at me, spitting at me, calling me a racist, calling me a white supremacist, all these different things. But I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stay cool, calm, and collected, and I'm going to get your problem solved. I mean, Florida's a great example if you see what's happening over there. That's somebody who's poised, professional, straightforward, and getting stuff done, but does not need the fanfare and the theatrics of hiring seven guys to put on KKK hoods and run at him as if this is real life. Crazy to me. Crazy to me. And I can see where people on the right can watch this and go, that's a great ad, I love it, it supports my message. But think about what the goal is, and think about what your goals are when you get into political discourse. Are we now just trying to rally our own side, rally our own troops, and we don't care about the people who sit in the center, which is most Americans? We're talking like 70% of Americans. We don't care about them anymore. We don't want to sway them. We don't want to be that rational figure that they can look to anymore. If that's the goal, then this is perfect. The perfect campaign ad. But it should not be the goal, in my opinion. You guys let me know what you think down below. All the political ads that I've seen, and we're going to get into one more at the end of this, that takes the cake, honestly. And it's only like 8 seconds, and it takes the cake over both of these. But this just blows my mind. I remember learning in civics class as a child about what the political system looked like, what our government system looked like. And you would flip through the American history book and just see all these poised figures, specifically men for the most part, because we know that's been the history of our country, who just stood strong. I mean, regardless of what side of the political aisle they were on, they were professional, they were tactful, they were presidential, even if they weren't presidents at the time, whatever politician, whatever political seat they were in, professional. I mean, what they did behind closed doors is another conversation for another time. But to the eye, on the camera, to the American people, professional, an image of strength. None of this, what we just watched with the noose, what we just see with the KKK AR-15 guy, none of that is professional. None of that is something that I would look to and go, yeah, I'd let you babysit my kids. I want to have you in my community as a leader. I want to have you as a role model for my children. That's what we should be looking for. Who would you want as a role model for your child? And certainly, anybody who would engage in this sort of overproduction of a campaign ad, not it for me. Not it for me. Now, here's one last one. Oh, gosh.
Real quick, I want to say we did a poll. Uh-huh. Do you approve of that KKK political ad? And we have 62% say no, and 38% say yes. So it looks like you have talked a few people over to your side. Hey. And we had a lot of AMLA 2036s being posted in the chat during your speech about what a good campaign should look like. So no. People are ready for you.
I am not ready for it. I will tell you that. If this is anything like what it looks like to run for any sort of office, I'm going to sit this one out. Maybe I could like campaign manage and tell people what not to do because I'm pretty good at that, I think. But oh my gosh, here's one more.
Wait, do we need to give a warning before this video too?
Maybe, yeah, a little bit
children.
Of a warning. Children, avert your eyes. Do not watch right now. Come back in like 30 seconds while we watch this one. I'll give you a little bit of time to close out. Here's one more. We won't call this a campaign ad. This is just simply a TikTok, but she does ask for support at the end. Here we go. Vote Senator Mack. This is a seated official. You can hear in the background somebody going, the ass. I don't know if you guys heard that. Unbelievable. I just don't. This is what we've come to.
Is it safe to look yet?
It is. It is. It is now safe to look, guys. Unbelievable that this is. And you know what? This made news for a little while, and it hit all the major conservative news outlets or whatever, and the left media outlets went a little hush on it. But it's out of the news now. It's done. Nobody's talking about it anymore. That's how crazy our society has become. That you can have a literal politician twerk their butt cheeks at you on a beach, ask for your vote, and it hits the news for a week and it's gone. I don't know what else to say about it. I don't know what else to say about it other than we are done. If this is the state of politics right now, an utter joke. It is a joke. Like, so many people, when they saw the conservative ad that I talked to you about, the KKK one, they defended it, and you said, you know, I like the ad, whatever. It made me laugh. I like the ad. It made me laugh. Are your politicians supposed to make you laugh? Are your politicians now not only supposed to be public servants, but comedians, actors, dance artists, apparently, with twerking on the beach? And I don't care if that's something you do in your free time, whatever, it's fun. People go out, I go out and dance all the time and go out with my roommate, we dance to hip-hop music, whatever, fine. But to film it and then go, vote for me. Vote for me, baby. For my butt cheeks. And I'm sure, you know what? I'm also gonna say, I'm sure it worked for some people. I went through the TikTok comments on this video, and people were saying, this is inspiring, I'll vote for you, you're so fun, you're so charismatic, I love this, you've got my vote when it comes time. That's just where we are, I guess. A lot of men saying, you know, she's got my vote. I don't know. I'm judging y'all. I'm judging you. I'm judging you. Normally, I like to refrain from but I'm judging you. I just don't get it. I don't know that there's anything else to say. Taylor.
How far we've fallen from, you know, I like Ike and just good old school campaign sloganeering and debating the issues. And here we are twerking on social media and hiring people to dress up in KKK costumes and buying fake ropes like Jesse Smollett and putting them around our necks. That's the state of American politics. And I think that is the broad point that you're making in today's show is just this. If we're saying we are moving in this direction, this is the direction in which we are moving.
Yep.
Is that a positive or negative development?
Yeah.
And that's...
It's, to me, utterly, sheerly negative. Like, it's so abundantly negative. And it's not just their fault. Like, we can look at these videos and go, like, shame on you for making a campaign ad. Shame on you for doing this. But millions and millions of views. We're talking about it right now, for criticism purposes, of course. But people are talking about it in a positive manner and cheering it on and going, yeah, you've got my support because of this. You know, I remember in school, we're going to go back to school days, hearing about the times of Lincoln, even before his presidency, and what sort of entertainment people were engaged in. You would have people go to these outdoor theaters. I mean, in the blazing heat of summer, in outdoor theaters, sit down and watch not even two political candidates at the time. It could be candidates, it could not be. But men get on stage or get on their tree stumps, whatever, at the time. Stages and tree stumps, if you will. And they would stand there, talk about one political issue. They would bring up one issue, one philosophical question, a moral question, and just debate each other back and forth. Not for 30 minutes, not for an hour. I mean, 3 hours. They would have segments where a man would speak for just 2 hours straight and the other man would get a 30-minute rebuttal, then speak for 2 hours straight, and then they'd go back and forth and back and forth. And people lined up to see these things happen, to sit down, to get to the bottom of their own moral and philosophical questions, to decide who they were going to support, who was going to be a better fit to their community. And now, fast forward to today, we hop on Twitter, we watch 2 30-second campaign ads, and we've made our decision. Honestly, before we've watched the campaign ads, we've made our decision about who we're going to support because we're so tribalistic. There is no question. There is no criticism. There is no skepticism about what people say. We don't have politicians stand up for an hour and defend their political stance on anything. We give them a 30-second soundbite on CNN or Fox News, and then we've made our decision about who we're going to support. How far we've fallen. And it honestly goes to show that as angry as people get about political issues, as much as they're willing to hop in the street and bring signs to the Supreme Court or protest any given institution on any given day, do we really care all that much? Do we really care all that much? Because the state of our system certainly doesn't speak to the fact that we care about anything at all. At all. We are just so willing to take in little sound bites and then make decisions about the future. And if you're looking at America right now, or at least the state of our political system or this current administration, and you're going, wow, I can't believe how messed up we are, it's kind of our own fault. Because we don't really seem to care. Or at least we've just gotten so far into technology and low attention spans that that's just our new normal. It's just the new cultural norm to take in such small bits of information and make such huge, profound decisions.
Yeah, we talk about that on the show a lot, just the way that social media has altered our brains and made us mm-hmm. such short attention spans, and there's no incentive to think deeply, or, you know, like, this is a very weighty decision. Who is leading the country? Mm-hmm. What sort of laws are we going to have governing our country? And the our decisions on that. First of all, we're so adamant of like, oh, we got to, everyone get out to vote, get out to vote. Like, people... you're voting based on, like you said, you don't even have to watch the ads. We're already entrenched in our respective sides. And, you know, we just went out, we got a special coming out pretty soon, but we just went out on the street and just tried to foster civil discussions with people about the topic of race in America. And it's difficult, because once you get past the first couple talking points that you see a billion times on social media, people mm-hmm. just don't have anything. And it wasn't, we met with some hostility, but a lot of the conversations just sputtered out as soon as you asked them to think a little bit more deeply about their perspectives.
Yeah, because we are so used to just developing opinions and not having any backing for them, not having any support for the opinions that we have, but we're so confident when we espouse them. It's kind of wild. I was almost like, when we went and filmed that video, I was just like, oh, we're not going to get any good content out of this. I don't feel like any of the discussions were super fruitful. You know who I had the most fruitful discussions with? People who weren't United States citizens. Those were the people who came forward and had really, really more nuanced opinions than I might have had on the issue. They were the ones who I had the true discussions with. None of the American people, for the most part, had anything to substantiate what they were saying, which was just wild to me. But we are going to end up putting out those videos, and you'll be able to see them. We're hopefully going to watch them, and I'm actually going to go through and talk about what the goals of the conversations were, because that's how bad some of these conversations panned out. But that is where we are at, and I wonder what it will take to get us out of it. Like, are we going to have this reinvigorated interest in what it truly means to get to the bottom of these issues?
Yeah, we are due for a renaissance and enlightenment of sorts of our modern times, of people waking up from having low attention spans and their brains microwaved to death from social media, and just having our culture, everything be so fast food, expediency, and quick, and no slowing down thinking, and knowing who you are, knowing your identity, knowing what you think about the things, and actually having to contend and use your words and think in critically. We're due for, I signed me up for a new enlightenment or something like right. that. So one can only hope. It can't get that much worse. But instead, meanwhile, we are heading towards the metaverse and, AI bots and things. So it's not looking good right now. But
it's not looking good.
We can dream.
We can dream.
I have a dream.
We can dream from our pods with our metaverse glasses on or something like that. Like, we live in Ready Player One. Last note here, and just something that I've wanted to state. It's, and I know most of you agree with me on this, it's totally okay to criticize people who are on your side of the aisle, by the way, guys. And that's another problem that we have, on both sides of, this person is conservative, I'm supposed to agree with them, or this person's progressive, I'm supposed to agree with them on every single thing, and if I don't, then there's a problem with me. So many people were like, why would you criticize a conservative? I even had somebody say, like, because I made a video about this ad and said that this ad is ridiculous. Come on now, guys. And this girl responded, and she was like, well, you just can't be trusted because you disagree with conservatives on this, this, and that. And Benny Johnson said it was a good ad, and he applauded it. So that means it's good. Dude, what? It's kind of wild to me. The best thing that you can do is give constructive criticism to anybody, whether or not they agree with you or disagree with you. And it is totally fine to step outside of your side and go, actually, I agree with them on this one. It's totally fine. You don't have to stand in lockstep with everything that your label agrees with. And in fact, I think that's where we've hurt ourselves the most, politically and socially, is that people don't feel comfortable stepping out and criticizing their own side, or maybe going, you know, I agree with the other side on this one, which is why we're going to continue to have so many problems. Most of the people in this country are centrists, meaning that politically, you know, you're not really Democrat, you're not really conservative. I guess you'd qualify that as independent. Like, most of the people in this country are exactly that. Yet we've sort of consigned ourselves to saying there's two sides and you have to agree with those two sides. There's no modgepodge, there's no middle ground, there's no in-between, there's no center. You are either this or you are that. And that's going to be to our extreme detriment, if not already, but in the near future. And I would like to see that change. So if you saw the short that I posted criticizing this GOP candidate and you didn't like it, you're going to get some more of that, unfortunately. I do often see things that are, you know, in the realm of conservative belief that I go, oh, I don't think I quite agree with that. Or maybe I semi-agree with that, and here's where I don't. And we should all be making those arguments and having the discussions about those things. And I plan to do that a lot on this channel. So I hope you guys are along for the ride. And every time I do so, I will ask you for your own comment and your own opinion. And I would love to go through them in the comments, respond back and forth, which I've been doing all day now because of this particular campaign ad. So I hope we can foster that and encourage that. And maybe for today's commentary, you guys already picked which ad you thought was the worst, and it was the twerking ad, and I am inclined to agree with you on that one. I do think the twerking ad is just a new low that we've reached here in America. But today, on the comments after the stream, not during the stream, after the stream, let me know, where do you stand politically, do you think? And if there is an opposing side to your current state of political belief, where's one point where you can agree with them? Where's one point where you can give them grace? Where's one point where you understand where they're at in some way? Let's drop that down in the comments below. Let's break the caricature of everybody sticking to their own side and not being able to step outside of it for any given reason. You let me know where in the comments down below you might disagree with your current tribe when it comes to political thoughts. And I would love to see that, read through them. And hopefully there are some very interesting responses. I'm sure all of us, if we rack our brains hard enough, will find a place where we agree with our opposing sides. And I think that's where we close out for today. Enough of the fanfare. Enough of the theatrics. We're just going to sit in front of the camera and talk, and I will see you guys tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. That is 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast, go to Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review, because the left leaves 1-star reviews. Not all of them. Some of them like us. Some of them like to listen to what I have to say. I've gotten a few comments from people who lean Democrat who say they love watching the show, and a few from centrists as well who like what I have to say, which is very, very hope and hope inducing, I guess I will say. So thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you tomorrow for Fun Friday.